court, hand over to the pastor. Can you sing that chorus, Jesus, He's a Waymaker?
Jesus, He's a Waymaker, Jesus, He's a Waymaker, Jesus, He's a Waymaker. One day in a way from glory, when I was lost in sin, He came and took me in. One day in a way for me.
You and also to show from the Word of God that communion is so important because there's healing in communion. There's actually healing in communion. When you have a real revelation of communion, there's healing. And I want to say, as you hear the Word of God this morning, I want you in yourself that needs a touch from God to say within yourself that the Lord's going to touch you. I want you to expect healing from the Lord this morning as you hear the Word of God. And I want to talk about true communion. And I'll try not to be too long and we'll have our communion service. It's 2 Chronicles 7. Let me read from verse 13 down. Maybe we even go back to verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to read from verse 12 down, and the Lord bless those that's here, and I know there's still a lot of people missing with various reasons. May the Lord bless them. You know, during the lockdown, there was two things really what happened. You had those that was ministering all the time over ops and different things. You're always busy. Then you have people that never got out to service. And there's really two things that happened. Some people's got backslidden. Other people's actually get closer to the Lord. But I'm telling you, we need to encourage each other. If somebody's not coming, try and encourage them to come and hear the Word of God and pray for them. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to know what to say to some people. If you can say something, it can do more harm than good. But prayer always works, doesn't it? Prayer always works, praise God. And the right answer in the right season can do wonderful things, but sometimes maybe we can say things but it can come out wrong and people can take offense so easily. And but we want to try and say the right things, praise God. Verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 7. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's the only answer to COVID.
Right.
Here it is here.
Amen.
In verse 14.
Right.
Some people's praying, some people's not bothered. But God has given this as a promise.
Amen.
Now you say, brothers, in the Old Testament, there's no word of God void of power. Remember that.
Right.
That God keeps an eye on his word. And if we use other Old Testament scriptures to get blessed, why not use this one and get blessed?
Amen.
Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayers that is made in this place. God is saying to you today, I will hear you. I will answer you if you'll only call. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forevermore, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according to thy covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But then here's the warning. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes, my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Let us bow our heads again for a word of prayer this morning. And if you have a need, and just lift your hand before the Lord, and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have told us you will hear us.
Amen.
Lord, you said, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I shall deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Amen.
Lord, we know your arm's not shortened. We know your ear's not heavy.
Amen.
But God, you can hear us and you will answer us.
Yes.
When we come in the name that thou hast set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we speak that name in this house today.
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we haven't come here to lift King Billy or a scythe or a flag. But Lord, we've come to uplift the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We worship you this morning, Lord. We pray your presence will be in this meeting. Lord, I'm asking you to heal people as they hear the word of God. Lord, your word says, while Peter yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost come upon them. May the Holy Ghost come upon your people.
Yes.
I rebuke the spirit of fear.
Amen.
I rebuke the spirit of infirmity.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I pray for your presence to touch your people.
Amen.
Touch my sister.
Hallelujah.
Touch my brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me.
Yes.
And I thank you that you do.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray for those that's at home this morning.
Amen.
Perhaps gotten cold or backslidden or indifferent.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you'll move upon them and speak a word.
Yes.
Into their innermost being.
Amen.
Oh God, your sheep know your voice.
Yes.
And another they will not follow. Speak to your sheep.
Jesus.
Call your sheep.
Hallelujah.
And bless your sheep and feed them.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name. Break to us this morning the bread of life.
Yes. And as we partake of these elements that represent your broken body and your precious blood, bless them. And as your people take, heal them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I think this is a wonderful portion of Scripture. If my people, which are called by my name. We know God's talking to Israel, but we're spiritual Israel. If you're saved, you're spiritual Israel. Do you realize we're the seed of Abraham by faith? Spiritual Israel. And God is speaking to you this morning in your chair, and God is speaking to me, and God is saying, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and call upon me, they will hear from heaven.
Right.
Not from some man or some idea or some organization, but from heaven.
Right.
There's no way you can hear from heaven and be the same. There's no way you can hear from heaven and not be changed.
Amen.
When every time a man or a woman hears from heaven, there's a supernatural visitation comes with hearing from heaven.
Amen.
A supernatural endowment of power comes from hearing from heaven.
Amen.
And God wants us to hear from heaven.
Right.
And God wants to speak to us from heaven.
Amen.
And you know where Jesus came from? Heaven. I know he was born in the Virgin in the stable and born of the Virgin Mary, but remember what God's word says: all things are made by him, all things are made for him. He is the beginning of the creation of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 1 verse 14, and the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. It's the glory of Jesus Christ we need to behold. The glory of man is like the grass of the field. It'll come up for a while, and it'll wither away, and it'll die, and it'll vanish away. But the glory of the Lord will never fade or never fail. It's eternal glory.
Amen.
God wants to give us his glory.
That's right.
I tell you, Brother Hart sent me a little clip yesterday, and it's about great preaching, and he said, listen it to the very end, and at the very end it says on it, do you know what Jesus' reward is? Jesus' reward is people getting saved. People getting saved is Jesus Christ's reward. That's why he suffered. That's why he died on the cross, to save the ungodly and to bring them back to God.
Amen.
There is a way back from the dark paths of sin.
Amen.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a wonderful scripture. When Hezekiah was told he was about to die, he didn't lie down and take it. But the word of God says he sought the Lord with tears. He cried unto the Lord. And God sent Isaiah the prophet to this Hezekiah here to tell him his sins were forgiven, and he was healed.
Right.
Not only will God forgive your sins, but the Lord is your healer. He's your Savior. He's your healer. He's your baptizer in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And he is the coming King. Hallelujah. Hezekiah was told you're going to live 15 more years. 15 more years doesn't seem like much, but 15 more years is a long time when somebody's dying. 15 more years God gave them. 15 more years God extended them. 15 more years because he sought the Lord.
Amen.
He never sought to the physicians, but he sought to the Lord.
Amen.
He never listened to the physicians, but he listened to the Lord.
Glory.
And let me say this morning, Jesus Christ is the greatest physician.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the healer. Jesus Christ is the real physician that we need to seek to.
Yes.
When the doctor says there's no hope, Jesus says there is hope.
Yeah.
I never forget when I used to have all Jack Coe's tapes. Brother from England sent me them.
some years ago, and I used to play them and play them and play them. There's an anointing was on them tapes. And Jack Cole saw a prayer coming up an elevator. And the woman said, all hope's gone. And he said, be of good cheer. And she said, Misty, you don't understand, all hope's gone. What I've got can't be cured. And he said, be of good cheer. And he prayed for her on the elevator. Amen. He didn't tell her to come to the next service. He didn't tell her, you need to get over here. They're having a suitcase revival. Amen. Do you know what a suitcase revival is? That's a man-made one. A suitcase revival will produce nothing. But when God sends a real revival, it retires preachers. Now I know you're looking at me. You know, an old fella once said, like a mule plucking a mule gadget. But you say, brother, that's ridiculous. No, no, it's not. Duncan Campbell says when he got to the service, God was already working. God didn't start a revival because of Duncan Campbell. Great. He's the first man to tell you that God started a revival because his people began to pray.
Hallelujah.
And God sent it.
Amen.
He just was there and part of it, and God used him.
Amen.
But God sent it.
Amen.
Man cannot start a revival. It's God that starts revivals.
Yes.
Right.
I tell you here, this man sought to the Lord, Isaiah 38 verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah. Now, Isaiah is a prophet of God, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. You know, God wants us to go away in secret and pray in secret. There's prayers that God does not want us to pray out in front in public. There's prayers that we need to pray in secret. We need to get into the closet, into the secret place alone with God, and get down on our knees before God and seek the face of God. And this man, Hezekiah, sought God, and God sent a prophet.
Amen.
And says, I have heard thy prayers, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. 15 years from the doctor said he would die. 15 years when all hope was gone. 15 years God gave him when they said he wouldn't last another week. 15 years.
Amen.
I know a fellow in his Church of Ireland, by the way. He doesn't claim to be Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or any of them big names. He's a Church of Ireland. But he was in hospital and he had cancer. And the Lord Jesus came to them and healed them and delivered them.
Amen.
A Church of Ireland.
Amen.
God can save a Church of Ireland.
Amen.
God can save a Presbyterian.
Amen.
God can save a Roman Catholic.
Amen.
And the Orangeman needs the same salvation that the Catholic needs.
Amen.
You can't come up to God with a sash on you and say, I'm getting in. He'll laugh at you. Need to be blood marked.
Amen.
Blood marked by the blood of Jesus.
Glory.
And if you're not blood marked, there's no entry.
Amen.
Have you got your seat booked?
Yes, sir.
Billy Graham preached a great sermon many years ago, and the title of Billy Graham's sermon was, Have You a Seat Reserved? Have you a seat reserved? There's a lot of people's got seats reserved in churches and pews reserved in churches, but they're not born again. It's a seat reserved in heaven you need, not in a church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the old woman rang up Jack Cole and she said, my maid was at one of your meetings and she got the cure. And he said, praise God. And he says, I want you to give me one of them cures. And he said, Mrs., if you come down to the church and get in the prayer line, I'll pray for you and God will give you a cure. And she said, oh no, I daren't come down amongst that crowd. I daren't come down there. A lot of people won't come here because we're a certain crowd. But there's other places they'll flock to, but they won't come here. That's the truth now. And they did the sightseeing with Jack Cole, and she said, oh, but Brother Jack, you just give me the thing. You give my maiden and I'll be all right. And he said, well, she came down the prayer line. I prayed for God healed her. Oh, but you don't understand. I sat in the pew that my mother sat in, and she sat in the pew that her mother sat in, and Jack Cole sent her down the phone, "Well, lady, just pew." Because she wouldn't come down. Somebody said that was rough. That was the truth. You know, Wigglesworth was one of the roughest talking men there was. How many knows that? But God used him. He took a dead baby on a pulpit amongst a massive congregation, a dead baby, and he took his boot and he kicked it out into the congregation like a football. And when somebody caught that dead baby, when they caught it, it screamed out and it lived.
Amen.
Now you can't try that because it won't work. But if God tells you to do something, God will do it. Amen. If God tells you to do something, it'll work. But if you do it because he done it or somebody else done it, it'll never work. But if God says to do it, God will do it. And God says here through Isaiah the prophets, "I have heard thy prayer. Brother, the Lord's heard your prayer. Sister, the Lord's heard your prayer. The Lord has already answered you. The Lord has heard your prayer. You need to believe it that you're healed. You need to expect it that it's going to happen. That the Holy Ghost is going to come on you and someone's going to take place. The Lord's heard you. He's already heard you. Before you call, I'll answer you." Didn't Jesus say, "I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Even before I pray, you've already heard me." Hallelujah. God wants us to believe him. Forgiveness and healing. Through the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. You cannot say, "I preach the full gospel." If you do not preach healing, you are not preaching the full gospel. You're preaching a benefit. You cannot preach the full gospel if you don't preach the way the apostles preach and the ministry that Jesus had. Remember, this is not the apostle ministry or Wigglesworth ministry or Jack Cole or William Branham. It has to be the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, the ministry of Jesus Christ has never changed. Jesus Christ is Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. He was a Savior then. He's a Savior now. He's a healer then. He's a healer now. He was a baptizer in the Holy Ghost then. And he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost now. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. And from falling.
Glory.
Many of us would have fell. You ever get up and said, "I'm not going to go back. Not going to go back." You remember when we did a service, Tom McGee, one of the first services, and my dad couldn't even get out of the chair, and the Spirit of God come on him, and he danced around the church, and some of you weren't there that morning, but he danced all around that wee building over in Tom McGee Hall, and he said the biggest mistake he ever made was when he left the church one Sunday, and he says, "I'll never go back," and he said that's the biggest mistake he ever made. And the devil wants people to say, "I'll never be back." And you say, "I'll go here, I'll go yonder," but you might go nowhere. And there's a lot of people this morning going nowhere. But Christians need fellowship. That's why there's a wee verse that says, "Gather often." Amen. Gather often. Amen. As you see the day approaching. Gather often. Amen. He doesn't say gather less, gather often. The Lord's heard you. Jesus understood himself, the relationship. Now I'm trembling. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I can tell you I've got the shakes this morning. And it's not drugs. But I've got them. And I'm bad with them. Praise God. Look at Luke 5, verse 23 to 25. Whether it's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." This is one of my favorite scriptures.
Amen.
You know, when you study this Luke 5 and you study these scriptures, and the Lord gave me a little message from this chapter 5 years ago, and I entitled it, "The Power of the Lord Was Present to Heal."
Yeah.
The power of the Lord was present to heal.
Amen.
I tell you, that's the type of church services we need.
Yes.
We need church services that the power of the Lord's present to heal. Amen. That it's present to deliver people. That God heal you where you're sitting and touch you where you're sitting. There's restrictions, but there's no restrictions with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can move where you
23, thy sins be forgiven thee, or did say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. The Lord healed him. He spoke over him. He spoke over him, and he rose up. He didn't even lay his hands on him. He spoke over him because he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
God said, let there be light, and it came forth.
Amen.
That same authority, that same power said, rise up.
Great glory.
Thy sins are forgiven thee. And immediately he got up out of his cot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He got up out of his bed. You know, that's when the Lord showed me something about the baskets. Do you remember when I preached about the baskets, the difference in the 7 and the 12? And the 12 baskets represented the 12 tribes of Israel. They were smaller baskets. But then there were 7 large baskets, and this man was let down through the roof in a basket. Now I'm just saying that to let you know how big it was. The basket he was let down in could hold a man. And remember that the Lord Jesus fed a multitude with a boy's lunch.
Great.
5 loaves and 2 small fishes in one place. Then in another place, one place he took up 12 baskets. Another place he took up 7. 7 that you could put a man in with what remained. God just doesn't want to bless you, but God wants to go over the top with it.
Amen.
Press down and running over the top is the word of God.
Amen.
God will bless your bread. God will bless your water.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the word of God.
Yes.
Glory.
And immediately he arose up before them and took up whereon he lay. And he departed to his own house, glorifying God. You know, that's the problem. All of us are guilty at some point in our life, and I'm saying it my own self. I went through a stage where it's almost you're preaching a man. But I want to tell you in this service, and I'm not ashamed to say it, God dealt with me. And God spoke to me. And he says, Tommy, I want you to preach Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to preach Jesus. I don't want you to preach some other man. I want you to preach Jesus. Jesus is the man. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the devils cried out.
That's right.
You can preach whoever you want. The devils will sit there. But when you start to preach Jesus, demons will come. They'll cry out under the power of God. I tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus can stop the traffic in an open air, you know. You know, some open air preachers, and I'm not ridiculing nobody, but they're too interested in all the sin, and they miss the point. The point's Jesus. Jesus must be preached. Do you ever see a traffic jam in an open air? I know years ago, there was brothers did open airs, and the traffic backed up because they preached Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus will stop people. Zacchaeus had to climb up the tree to see him because there's such a crowd.
Amen.
Jesus will draw a crowd. Duncan Campbell says when the revival struck, nobody rocked the door. Nobody gave out a leaflet. Nobody gave an invitation. But Jesus drew them. We're talking about the same God that said the ark's now built. Oxen, cattle, sheep come into the ark. Who told them to come into the ark? No, it didn't go out with lasso and catch them. But God spoke to creation, and creation obeyed his voice, and creation came to the ark. That's the same God that can bring a revival. And God can bring them. And I want to say this, one miracle speaks louder than 1,000 words. One miracle. Oh, hallelujah. Take up thy bed and walk. Like the original Passover lamb, Jesus Christ came to bring forgiveness of sins and physical healing. That's what he came for. When they looked on the brass serpent, they were healed. A brass serpent only attacked of what was coming. They could look upon it and they were healed. How much more can we look to Calvary and be healed this morning?
Hallelujah.
With a God.
Glory.
Amen.
And he says he takes away
That's right. The
sin of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a Savior. John the Baptist declared who came and what he was to do. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is another sermon I preached entitled God's Appointed Taker Away of Sin. Appointed. There's no priest, there's no pope, there's no evangelist, no pastor, no prophet. I don't care who he is. They cannot remove your sin. They're just a sinner like you and me. But Jesus Christ knew no sin. Jesus Christ had no sin. He is God's appointed taker away of sin. He removes all sin and all iniquities. And he says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. Sister, the sins of your youth are gone to stay. Hallelujah. They're gone. Washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness. What a mighty Savior. Jesus Christ shed his blood. Matthew 26:28, for the remission of sins. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. His body was broken for our physical healing. Jesus Christ bore our sicknesses, as Isaiah at verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, nobody else could do it. Himself done it.
Amen.
I remember young Robert Orr worked along with me for some time at the joinery, and my Daniel was only a wee fella. And me and Robert used to laugh because Daniel used to say, Dad, I done it all by my own self. And we used to laugh, and Robert used to say, Tommy done it all by his own self, but Jesus done it all by his own self.
Yes,
amen. Oh, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He drunk the dregs of the cup. Oh, I tell you, there's a sermon in the dregs, you know. Wonderful sermon. He drunk the dregs of the cup. He took all the bitterness that we're going to go through, all the grief we're going to go through. Jesus took it at the cross. He drunk it all. He fulfilled the Father's plan so that we could be saved and healed. When you come to this table, you remember these things. Jesus done it for you. He loves you. He loves you so much, he died for you. Scarcely for a righteous man. Romans 5. Would one die? Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But yet when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for a sinner like me. Died for a sinner like you. Christ died that we could be saved. Oh, what does it matter? What does it matter what we have in this life if we haven't got the Lord?
That's right.
Oh, we need to be praying for our loved ones.
Amen.
Our husbands, wives. We need to be praying. Seeking God's face. Asking God for a visitation. Oh, that God would pour his Spirit out in a mighty way upon his people. That's my prayer. When we celebrate communion, we fully share in Christ's accomplishments for us. That's what we're doing. We're sharing in Christ's accomplishments for us. He accomplished this for us. This is what the Greek word for communion literally means. Fully sharing in Christ's accomplishments for us. He done it for us. He didn't die for himself because he had no sin. Death had no claim on him, but he died for you and he died for me. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion fully sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion fully sharing of the body of Christ? Forgiveness and healing, what Christ has done for us. Isaiah prophesied long ago in Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our stripes was upon him. And with his stripes we for. He has own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Amen. By whose stripes we were healed. Yes. He already healed you. When did you get see him? You could bring somebody up and they'll say they could saved when they were just a boy. And that's true. And I got saved in 1984. But God already had saved you and me from the foundation of the world. But he had to bring us to the place of repentance. And many knows that. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be called sons of God. But you and me had to come to that place of salvation. But on the day you got saved, you never paid a price and went to the cross. Christ already done it.
Amen.
He already done it for you.
Glory.
And the Lord to heal you has already done it.
Hallelujah.
But just like you came in faith and you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can come with the same faith and accept him as your healer.
Amen.
And just as he saves you, he'll heal you. Let me read you these four words and I'm going to come to a close. We're going to have communion. Wounded here means broken open. Broken open. Jesus was broken open. Broken open. Bruised here means crushed and smitten by God. By God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what he cried. For our iniquities, here means perversity and evil thinking. All our perversity, all our evil thinking. You can have an opinion of somebody that's wrong. God can forgive you. Every one of us, I'm sure, is guilty in our lives. But he can forgive us. Striped here means wounds. He was striped, smitten at the cross. Stripes. Our Redeemer Jesus Christ was broken open in his sinless blood, Matthew 27:4, 1 Peter 1:19, to overcome our rebellious actions. He suffered for us. I'm coming to a close. I'm not going to preach on. I want to give time for communion. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Praise God. God bless, sister. Let's read this. Maybe we could stand our feet. And I'm going to ask Brother Mark to come, and maybe one of the brothers will help. Let us read this. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned of the world. And we heard that explained so well last week, how the Lord judges us in the sense of correction, and is chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to pray, and our brothers are going to come, and we're going to have communion. And if anyone wants to pray during communion or after communion, we're going to have a little time, and I want you to feel free just to thank the Lord for what he done for you. Father in heaven, we thank you
for what you've done for us. Lord, we're so grateful. From the gutter pit, from the filthiest down and out conditions, you've saved us, of sinners whom I am the chief. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, I'm asking you to do miracles in this room. As people partake of this bread and wine, may they be healed. Those that need a healing or a touch from God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless the bread. Bless the wine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.